This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msvnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
But we're about to talk a little Auburn football with Gus Malzahn, the head coach, as he gets ready to help out Children's Hospital and all the other charities that this benefit happens, this pro-am happens to benefit. And Coach is with us. Hey, Coach, how are you?
Hey, doing great.
Welcome back, man. It's been a sort of a golfing tour for you lately. The Chick-fil-A for charity, then the Lutzie Foundation, and now here today. How's that swing going?
Not very good. I've been very consistent. You know, I played bad golf, so hopefully today that'll change.
Wasn't there a minute where you actually didn't even play? You were just putting, and now you have at least progressed where you're out there teeing it up.
When I coached high school football, I played a lot of golf, you know, probably four or five times a week during the summer. This college football has kind of killed my game, so I think this is the fourth time I've played since last July, so we'll see what happens.
Do you get a little anxious when you get on the tee box in front of a gallery? We had Kirby Smart on, and he was dying to get out there and hit some range balls because he was scared to death of sculling one-on-one.
Yeah, you know, I don't get too worked up on that. We'll see what happens. If I played a lot, I'd probably feel a little different.
You just mentioned high school football. Look, I mean, the contracts are bigger, the crowds are bigger, the stakes are bigger in college. What do you miss most about being a high school football coach? Like, if you could translate it to the college game, what would it be?
Yeah, you know, high school was a lot of fun. Like I said, I coached 15 years of high school football, and just the non-business side. You know, college has got a big business side, but just the purity of the high school game and everything that goes with it, you know, it's almost like a different profession. And but I enjoyed high school just as much as I do college.
What class did you have to teach, like, when you were teaching?
Yeah, I taught five classes, seventh grade world geography.
World geography, how about that?
Yeah, yeah.
So, where that European maps changed a lot since I was in school. I don't know about when you taught it.
Yeah, you know, and then I did a little senior high health.
Okay.
And then I was dean of students, and then I was athletic director my last 5
years. Do you feel like you would still be proficient in world geography? Like, next time we have you on, if we had a map.
I think I would have a chance, yeah. It wouldn't take long, you know. But I really enjoyed the classroom. I mean, I think that, you know, being a teacher, I think gave me a great foundation for being a coach, because coaching is teaching. And every individual is different the way they learn. So I think that gave me an advantage, you know, getting in the college game.
I know when the transition from college – to the NFL, the NFL guys get quarterbacks on the whiteboard a lot of players, you know, X's and O's. In the recruiting process, are you allowed to say when you're recruiting a quarterback to sit down and do X's and O's with him to see, to challenge quarterback IQ?
Oh, yeah. You know, usually, you know, we start recruiting these kids, you know, a lot of times in 9th and 10th grade, and you got a lot of great information, you know, with all the camps they go to and the 7-on-7s, and then you get them on campus and, you know, you get a chance to visit with them, get to know them, evaluate them in a camp setting. So you have great information these days, you know, when you get a chance to recruit a kid.
You're a pretty good spot at quarterback this year with Jarrett Stidham. Yeah. You know, what is the ceiling right now? A lot of people are saying this might be the first quarterback taken in next year's draft, which I know you don't want to hear because you got a couple of years of eligibility left.
Yeah, you know, I'm real proud of Jarrett last year. You know, coming in our conference and our league with the schedule we played, and he had new teammates, new coaches. He was trying to learn a new offense. And, you know, probably game 4 or 5, it started to click. And he started playing really good football. And, you know, this is his team this year. You know, you can just tell the way that we're in team meetings in the spring and everything that goes with it. He's got a great feel of our entire team, so we're glad he's leading us.
As a coach, you hear a lot of coaches talk about, I want the guy that wins the locker room. You know, he's hopefully the best player, but he's the guy that wins the locker room. As a coach, how do you know that? How do you know Jarrett Stidham has won the locker room?
Yeah, you know, it's just a sense. It doesn't take long. You'd be around our team for 30 minutes, and, you know, an outsider could come in and not knowing anything, they'd know that he's the leader. And, you know, the special ones have it, and you just said it. You know, anytime that – you got a guy that's the leader and he's one of the best players, that combination usually goes a long way.
Your string of 1,000-yard rushers is longer than anybody in the SEC. It's the longest in SEC history. It almost seems like automatic, and I know there's debate who's going to be the lead rusher this year for Auburn, who's going to be the main running back, but it almost seems like a system thing with you that there's going to be a 1,000-yard rusher.
Well, we believe in running the football, run and play action, throwing the ball deep. And, you know, if somebody asked me 2 years ago, you know, we've lost a couple of these guys that transferred out and all that, and who's going to and take their place? Well, it was Cameron Petway and Kerryon Johnson, but they weren't talking about them 2 years ago.
Right.
So I feel like we've got those guys right now. We've got you know, five or six guys competing for the spot. They're all talented, and I'm very confident that we'll get a couple of those guys to step up, and we'll continue that 1,000-yard streak.
But Kerryon was one of those guys. You can make the argument was the most valuable player in the SEC last year.
It's
really hard to replace guys like that.
Yeah, there's no doubt. Kerryon was a special player. He was a great competitor. He was a great pass protector. You know, a lot of times that gets overlooked, you know. And then he protected the football well, too. So, Kerryon's a special player. Cameron Petway was a special player. But I said, we'll have somebody step up. Cam Martin, if we started the season today, he'd be the first guy out there. Of course, he was our number two rusher last year. So, you know, we feel good about where we're at.
A few more moments with Auburn coach Gus Malzahn as he gets ready to tee off in the region's tradition here at Greystone. You are part of what I think everyone considers the best game in week one in Washington. How important is that for your program? How does it help you to be in a primo game like that week one?
Yeah, anytime you get a high profile, you know, game week one, you know, I think it helps during the summer, you know, and the days, the dog days of the summer, it just helps motivate. And Washington's a great team. They got a great coach.
Do you know him that well? Do you know Coach Peterson?
Yeah, we've talked football a few times when I was at Tulsa way back. And, you know, he's one of the good guys.
Yeah,
and
he seems to be.
He's a true professional, and I've got a lot of respect for him. And, you know, they're one of the best teams in college football, and we're going to play the toughest schedule again. You know, last year we had, you know, we had two losses, and if we'd have won the SEC championship game, we'd have been in the college football playoff, you know, with two losses. And schedule's just as tough this year. So it's a man's schedule, and we'll see what happens.
What do we have to do to split up the Georgia-Auburn home 1 year, both on the road next year? What do you have to do to flip that back around to where it's like it used to be on the Auburn schedule?
That's a good question. You know, can y'all help me out with that?
Yeah. Like if you hit a hole in one today, can we
you know what?
Sankey to flip it around?
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. But, that needs to be done. You know, that's a real interesting deal, you know, at the end of the year, whether you got them at home or on the road. And in 2010, you know, we had them split up when we won the national championship, so I'd prefer to be split up.
What if this year you just said, my team will be at Jordan-Hare? If you want to play the game, you're coming to Jordan-Hare. That's where my team's going to be.
Yeah, we'd
– That'd be a bold move.
That we'd forfeit.
All right, well, there you go.
they wouldn't go for that. They'd cause us to forfeit.
The best thing – my favorite thing that you do in the off season, you and your wife have the different units over.
Yeah.
How much food do you guys go through? I mean, is there a unit that – is it obviously the offensive line or D-line that eats more than everyone else?
The O-line D-line is always going to eat more. There's no doubt about that. And, you know, pizza and wings 6 days in a row. Yeah. I don't know if I want to eat pizza and wings again the rest of the year, man. That was a tough deal.
She seems to really enjoy it, though.
Yeah. We, you know, we've always tried to have our players over. And a few years back, we used to have the offense over one night and the defense over one night. And there's 60 people, and she didn't get to interact with all. So we just decided to divide it up, and it's been a really good thing for us.
Where college football never ends.
The kick is good! Auburn wins! 22-19! The Auburn Tigers are on top of the college football world.
The Jocks Roundtable with LT, Dunaway, and Brown.